today's news.
Hello and welcome to Old News, the programme which looks at issues of today through the papers of yesterday. Well, you might have noticed, yes, there's been yellow warnings abounding of late for frost and ice and cold weather. Maybe you could have guessed in the past, bearing in mind it was winter, but it has been unusually cold for a November. Whatever your view on it, I thought a quick look at frost in the papers of yore might be timely. Plenty of mentions over the year, but yes, maybe not so many in November. If we go back to the Isle of Man Examiner, Saturday, February the 16th, February note, not November, 1895. I love the language. The icy kingdom of winter, which settled down on the Isle Man that last week amid all its whirling snow wreaths, has as completely blocked up and isolated Russian Abbey that it can only be reached by recently devised tracks across the fields and hillsides, the ordinary roads and the railways being quite impassable and buried in snowdrifts here and there of great depth. The jam manufactory of Messrs. T. Cubbon and Sons is much incommoded by the large quantities of jam in barrels waiting to be conveyed by rail to the Steam Packet Company, by vessels for transport to Liverpool, Southport, Blackburn, and many other towns in Lancashire and the neighbourhood. We understand the line was open to Russian Abbey today, today being Saturday. We turn to the Manx Sun of Saturday, January the 12th of the same year, 1895. An unusually heavy frost set in on Thursday week and has continued with more or less severity throughout the present week. The roads were in a bad condition and vehicular traffic has been carried on with considerable difficulty. On Sunday night, snow commenced to fall for the first time this winter and continued at intervals throughout the night, so that on Monday morning the ground was covered with snow. The principal streets and thoroughfares were speedily cleared of the snow by gangs of men who'd been set to work early by the overseer to the town commissioners, Mr. Callow. The heat of the sun, which prevailed during part of the day, tended to remove the snow from the roads, but left them in a dirty condition. But the frost of Wednesday and the following nights again made them hard. The pits and ponds have been covered over with ice during the greater part of the week, and the invigorating pastime of skating has been indulged in at Bellevue during the past few days. No mention, as there might be these days, of the danger of skating on the ice. And where was Bellevue? I should know. Let me know if you know. HowardCain@manxradio.com. I must make mention of a little paragraph underneath in a box in the paper, the Manx Sun, as I say, of 1895, January the 12th. Hall Caine's new story, we're told, commenced in the Ramsey Courier on Friday, December the 21st, and will be continued in Tuesday's and Friday's issues. You never think of Hall Caine doing sort of piecemeal in the papers, do you? If you do not get both issues of the Courier, it continues, you will miss the connecting chapters of this story. Order early from any newsagent. Well, that could be news of today, couldn't it? Turning to the Isle of Man Times of Saturday, December the 30th, 1899. Frost, wind and rain, or as it said in one of the headlines, frost, wink and rain. A sharp frost, the first serious frost of the winter, occurred on St. Stephen's night, following, as it did, upon showers of rain and sleet. The frost produced a treacherous surface for pedestrians, and the corporation's workmen were busily engaged with cartloads of sand, dusting down the chief thoroughfares. Through the morning, a thaw set in, but so slightly as not to have much effect in the central parts of the town, where the heat radiating from the closely grouped houses seems to prevent frost taking a grip unless it is very severe. It was the hills leading into the town which were most slippery and dangerous to wayfarers, but Mr. John Callow, the town overseer, a bit of a champion, had groups of men at work, as we've heard, very early, strewing the parapets, and the result was highly satisfactory. The Victoria Pier, which is under the charge of the Harbour Commissioners, was not so well looked after. There was every promise of a continuance of fine and frosty weather. The barometer was just under 30, includes this morning, and the temperature in the upper part of the town was at 10 o'clock 2 or 3 degrees below freezing point. Later in the afternoon, after the warmth of the sun had declined, the frost grew much keener and the streets became more dangerous. On the footpaths, which were well sanded, walking was generally safe, but vehicular traffic was carried on with difficulty. Farriers had a busy time sharpening horses' shoes, the equivalent, I assume, of putting on winter tyres. Who'd have thought such a thing happened? And 40 or 50 horses at a time might be seen standing outside some of the shoeing forges. Many accidents were reported. Dr. Marshall was driving in his gig along Walpole Avenue when suddenly, notwithstanding that nails had been driven in the horse's shoes, it fell badly, throwing the doctor out headfirst on one side and the driver, William Quayle, on the other. Dr. Marshall picked himself up quickly and seized the pony's head until it could be released from the damaged gig. Both the doctor and his man were badly shaken and bruised on the knee and hips, but otherwise came off marvellously well. Both shafts of the gig were broken. Hopefully the horse was all right as well. No mention of the poor horse, it has to be said. If we turn to the Isle of Man Times of Saturday, June the 10th, 1899, well, thinking about frost, maybe think about ice, and of course, refrigeration days, you had to buy it one way or another. Encourage home industry, says the advert. Ice, ice, ice. The Isle of Man Pure Ice and Cold Storage Company Limited is now prepared to deliver pure ice in any quantities on the following scale. 100 weight blocks, 2 shillings. A half a hundredweight block, 1 shilling and threepence, and a quarter of a hundredweight, 9 pence. At the works, 1 shilling and sixpence per hundredweight. Special terms for larger quantities, ice crushed and delivered to all fishing ports in the island. And we're told that the ice is of particularly good quality and has been tested. Skipping forward quite a bit to 1937, by which time roads were busier with motorised traffic. Icy roads cause a crop of skids, weekend mishaps. Icy road services at the weekend claimed a number of victims. William Hubert Shimmon of Devonshire Road in Douglas was driving his car down the Spring Valley Road on Sunday evening, and after passing the Saddle Road, the car skidded and crashed into the left side hedge. On Saturday evening, George Henry Connor, employed in Onken, was driving a motor lorry at Abbeylands when a skid resulted in the vehicle colliding with the post office, causing slight damage. And the secretary of the Agricultural Society, James M. Martin, was driving on the main road at Santon on Friday night, and when near Mount Murray, the car skidded, crashing into the hedge. Braddon Bridge was the scene of another ice rink performance on Sunday afternoon when Edward Clark of Castlemere Central Promenade Douglas, driving a car round the bridge, collided with the wall. No mention of any injuries, so we hope all was well. And finally, the Mona's Herald of Tuesday, January the 18th, 1949. Icy road spelt danger at Holtzheim, so motorists stopped before reaching it. When Herbert Sidney Cowan of Brunswick Road in Douglas was charged before the High Bailiff at Douglas on Friday with failing to stop at a halt sign, his defence was that he had already skidded over 2 or 3 signs the same day because of the icy surface on the roads, and he decided to treat this one with respect, so he actually stopped about 2 feet in front of the sign. He was reported to police by John Robert Applegate of the Mount Pleasant Douglas, who said that when he was passing the Brown Bobby on his way to the railway station, defendant's car rounded the hairpin bend at the junction of Circular Road and Peel Road without stopping and shot across the road just in front of him. Witnesses just managed to scrape past safely. When he dismounted and asked the defendant if he knew there was a halt sign there, he said, "Yes, I knew, but I'm afraid I didn't stop." The defendant said his speed was such that he was hardly moving when he rounded the corner. He looked to the right and could only assume that the lamppost and police box on the island hid the motorcyclist from his view. The High Bailiff, we are told, reserved his judgment. I think there could be more on frost, ice, and snow in old news in the weeks and months to come, but for now, we shall leave it there. Stay safe if you're out in the frosty conditions, whatever your view on them. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.